Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Welcome back to the Storm Cellar. Thank goodness we beat the Capitals, Ray, because this was really going to be a sad, you know, if we had back-to-back losses against the Bruins and the Caps, I mean, this could be just the most depressing podcast of the season, but that didn't happen. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it would have been tough, and it would have been the first time that it happened since early December, as I recall, the last time that the Hurricanes lost in regulation back-to-back at home.
Right.
I recall that stat was thrown out yesterday. So,
yeah, I mean, still on a bit of a heater, right?
Yeah.
Like you're not going to win them all. We all know that. Even the best teams are going to drop one once in a while. And to be fair to our guests, the Bruins are not slouches, right?
No.
You know, they're in a fight right now for tops in the Atlantic and looking at a President's Trophy again, right?
Again.
So, real quick, congrats to the Wolfpack women's basketball team.
Yes.
They played phenomenal, played their hearts out. They did end up losing to South Carolina, but they put it all out there on the court. That's all we could ask for. And then, knock on wood, the men played at night. So, win or lose, my nerves can go back to something akin to normal.
Right. Well, just one team that you're worried about instead of three,
right,
which you've been taking on extra medication pills to keep the heart rate down and the pressure down. And I understand.
Extra beta blockers, baby. Absolutely. So our guest is I think is a much younger man than the two of us, though. So he doesn't know about such things.
You know what? One of the things that we have said over and over and over, Brad, is that there is room for everyone in the Storm Cellar. You don't just have to be a Caniac. You can be a fan of every other team. And proof of that we've had in the past, way, way back. Well, not that far back. I think this was last year. We had a fan of the team that shall not be named join us in the, you know, so even I have the ability to, you know, enjoy the company and chat hockey with fans of those teams. This is not the case this time. It probably is. This
can't be a rooting person.
And maybe that's it. I don't know. Others have said different, I think. But this time around is great because this fellow, actually a bit of infamy for Caniac fans.
Like El Guapo from the Three Amigos.
Yeah, yeah.
Caniac infamous.
The man who joins us today is none other than Bobby Brewski. And if the name immediately doesn't hit you, the post that he made on Twitter, it was Twitter back in the day when it happened. It is a Bruins fan who absolutely loved to chirp and made an infamous chirp video against the Canes that came back and kind of bit him a little bit, but it didn't keep you from joining us here. Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. We've been looking forward to this one for a while, and we've put down our hockey sticks and we haven't thrown our mitts down. We're happy to have you join us. There's going to be no knuckle chucking. Let's just say that. We're playing this respectfully. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been sweet. When you guys asked me a few weeks ago, I was like so excited.
Right between the two Bruins games, right? The two Bruins Canes games.
And you get what we do is we always focus on our guests and highlight the fans, no matter where they're from, no matter what they're about. We want to talk about them and focus the light on them because fans really are the, you know, what make the NHL go. if the fans don't show up, no one's playing and getting paid the money that they're getting paid. So Bobby, let's hear from you, Bobby Brewski. You know, how did you become a Bruins fan? As I understand it, you're closer to me in geographic senses than you are to Brad in Boston.
Yeah.
So that's kind of unique. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So I'm from Winnipeg, home of the Jets, of course.
Yes.
The Atlanta Thrashers transplants, as it were. So, the Bruins thing came along. My dad was a diehard Habs fan.
Oh.
Growing up watching hockey, my older brother followed his footsteps and became a Habs fan. And once I started to kind of watch it with him and understand the game more, I'll never forget it. I was watching Hockey Night in Canada. It was the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it was the Boston Bruins of like Joe Thornton and like Samsonov and Nylander. Hal Gill, I'm pretty sure, was on that team. Like, just crazy, like, looking back. And my grandma was a huge Leafs fan. And I remember asking my grandfather, like, who's this other team? Because they had black and gold jerseys. They looked, you know, they looked like villains. They were like, no one, and yeah. I kind of got the vibe, no right. one in the room yeah. liked them.
Right.
You know, being the youngest sibling, it's like, well, you know, there you go. You know, there's the chip on the shoulder. And my grandfather just looked at me and said, your dad hates that team. I said, those are my guys.
That's it.
And that was it. Became a Boston fan. And, you know, it wasn't fun the first few years. I mean, it was pretty young. It was a pre being able to stream games, but it was a lot of waking up, watching SportsCenter, looking at the little ticker at the bottom and seeing that they lost. Next day, seeing they lost. And then.
Yeah.
But
that's always
a lot of layers there, too.
Yeah.
So a Winnipeg fan who's not a Jets fan, whose father is a Montreal fan, who then you buck the system, you go Bruins.
Yeah.
You know, our listeners know, Ray knows. So, you know, I grew up in North Carolina in Tobacco Road, right? We were a UNC Tar Heels household. I was, you know, my brother went there. My sister-in-law went there. I was expected to go there. I went to NC State. And I always say, like, I was like excommunicated almost, right? I assume you went through something similar probably, because it's not that you didn't pick the Habs. Like, you picked the Bruins of all teams.
Yeah,
right?
It was the arch enemy. It was those like mid-2000s playoff series where it was Habs and the Bruins. It got nasty. It was
I bet
that was the first time I experienced, like, I'm like, wow, my dad can be pretty
you're
mean.
You're used to the bad blood. And like Kane
oh,
Bruins
yeah.
is not anywhere even on the level of, you know, Bruins Habs. I mean,
yeah. And we'll follow on that. There is a lot of history of Canes and the Bruins. There was, I mean, 2019 was a very special victory for me for a lot of reasons, but
sure.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
First things first though, I got to say, you are instantly my favorite non-Caniac slash jerk fan, because you selected your team based on against the team that shall not be named.
Yeah.
That makes you number one in my books. Let me tell you, I've got your back all the way on that. That is so fantastic. And now we like to do this too. We know that you're a Bruins fan, but we've got three questions. I'll throw three questions at you real quick. The first one instantly is, who's your favorite player? And you can give me all time. You can give me this year's team. You can give both, give whatever you like. Your favorite player for the Bruins.
All time, it's probably Zdeno Chara.
Yeah,
Chara is always, it's because I remember watching him with the Senators, and the Senators Leafs playoff series, big in my grandma's household, going back to her being a Leafs fan. And
sure,
just, you know, when you're a little kid, just that big monster on the ice. And then sure enough, he signs with the Bruins, and it was like, wow, that doesn't happen. Like,
yeah,
game?
You know, yeah. So effective. You know, one of the things that that I will recall is the handshake lines that the Canes had with the Bruins. And Rod at the end of it taking a very long time, always with Chara, out of pure respect, like he it was. And I'm kind of the same way. It's that how do you put this, a respect slash fear of Chara.
Yeah.
Because the man is huge, the wingspan of, you know, he could touch one side of the boards and the other side of the boards at the same time. The man was just a monster, right? Yeah. And played effectively in that huge shot of his, man. There's no, I understand. Chara's it. Now, what about this year's team? Chara, sadly, not with them.
Not with them. This year's team, honestly, like if I had to pick somebody, I think it's been my favorite player. It's been Trent Frederick.
Oh, yeah.
Going off of last year and what Monty's kind of helped him become and build his confidence. He's been by far my favorite player to watch this year.
Very cool.
From being that, you know, drop the mitts fighting guy that we thought we had with the Trent Frederick Fight Club to being like, wow, he's actually becoming that first line center that we drafted in 2016.
Right.
Like it's nice to see him kind of develop well. And like, yeah, he's been my hot take all year, and going into the playoffs, I'm like, that's the one guy. Like going back to when we last played the Panthers, he scored on him, and it was like, you can tell, because I think last year he was snake bitten the whole series. So I'm excited to see what he does in this upcoming postseason.
You know, you bring up the Panthers. We also had Brad have to take note that Bobby Brewski is joining us in the Storm Cellar while the Bruins are playing. Can you, like, I don't think we've had anyone who is be willing enough to do that. And we had to adjust the schedule for this recording, and Bobby was still in too. That makes you just that much better, man. We really appreciate having you here. No kidding. For our 1 second, I need to check this out here. 1-1 at the end of the first, Bobby. Yeah. I'm sure you've got the
it's TV on in the background, on. But
in the background, that boy. Yeah,
I'm like you guys. I rewatch the games after. you get the live reaction, then you like you dive in and you start looking at things you want to look for. So
yeah,
that's
and
awesome.
Frederick's what, 1 point short of 40, I think, on the year, right?
Correct. Sure, yeah, correct. He's
so
doing his job.
Huge
gotta love it.
Huge development.
Nice. Now, look, here's the second question, and it'll be different for you, I think, than the way other Caniacs have taken it. If I could have guaranteed at the trade deadline, okay, that the Bruins would win the Stanley Cup, but you had to get rid of Frederick, would you have? Your favorite player.
That's tough. My heart, right? Like my first reaction is yes, but my heart is I'm a little bit tied to players.
You know what? That's why we ask it, and it's the same reaction, Brad. It's kind of like we're not cracking on you because we've asked that question to a lot of Canes fans, and they kind of,
everybody pretty much is a no. They're like, I want to win it, but that's like the one condition I'm not willing to go for.
Yeah,
right?
No, he'd be one of the guys I'd be most happy to see have the cup handed to.
No doubt. And so that brings us to our third question. Again, it's another one of those guarantee questions. If I could guarantee you that the Bees hoist Lord Stanley at the end of this year, but you would have to spend the next 5 years out of the playoffs.
I'm a Giants fan. I'm used to that. Yeah. Sign me up every day of the week.
No turn, no trouble.
Also, there is a pattern to those answers. No for number two, and quite often yes for, you know, for three. It's with having more recently won a cup, I thought like, oh yeah, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd definitely like, I'd rather win another cup. And, you know, 5 years is, you know, kind of in some ways it's nothing, but I think in a market like Boston, it's tougher.
It's yeah.
Right. Because even rebuilds and things with, you know, whether it's Bruins or Celtics or Red Sox or Patriots, one bad year, the fans can kind of understand up here, but two is pushing it. And five would be unconscionable for some fans. Yeah. It's really
looking at the Patriots. The expectations you're starting to see really that high. Already. It's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's almost. I look at that as it's a tough question because some of these teams, they are victims of their success, right? When you get as good as you are, or a team like the Bruins who are fighting for the President's Trophy, you know, every year and so forth, failure is not an option, it seems. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of put the realism about sport in the background and you just have that higher expectation. That's how it is for the Bruins, isn't it? Like, do you have that kind of feeling too?
It is. It's like this year has been probably the most turbulent in that mindset, because last year was a disaster. There's no other way of putting it. It was the most heartbreaking loss. That's coming from a guy that's watched two cup losses. Right. And then going to this year, you kind of like going into the season, you're kind of flirting with like, well, after last year, this nothing matters, mm-hmm. but it's a centennial season. They start off hot and you just instantly get thrown back into the wagon.
Right.
And now that, you know, it's springtime, the snow's melting up here, the sun's staying up, you start to get those feelings again where you're like, no, you have to win.
Yeah.
That mindset I had in December during your 5-game losing streak, well, I was like, well, this was always a bridge year. You're like, well, it's no longer a bridge year because we're contenders. We're going into the postseason, and there was no easy way to the cup, and you got to win. So
yeah, and that's so and right.
You know, it's fun, but it's also frustrating because sometimes you wish you could just enjoy the game, like but the media doesn't help, covering the podcast doesn't help. You know, you live and die by every shift. It seems like.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I love, because you sound like me in some ways. Where, you know, you described last season as what you said, a disaster, I think was
disaster,
the word you used.
Yeah.
Y'all won a President's Trophy last year. You had 135 points, an NHL record. No team has ever done any of those things.
Oh, yeah. But you 1-82. Amazing. Right. The funnest. Yeah. But yeah, that 1 week, and it was against Florida. And like, that's a team you play. And they're in the division. You always wake up for division games, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But this was the first time in my entire life I have ever hated the Florida Panthers. And I was excited about that going into the season, because now I'm like, okay, well, there's four more games that you're circling even more. Not like last year where you're like, they're a good team. I'm excited to see this. Now you're like, no, there's something there. There's bad blood in the water, per se, you know? So it's...
No question.
And the NHL needs more of this, because...
Absolutely.
When they changed the schedule, those traditional rivalries petered out a little bit.
Yeah.
Not everywhere, but some of them have kind of gone away a little bit or have been subdued because teams have gotten better, teams have gotten worse. You know, Bruins Habs classic rivalry, but the Habs are so bad.
Yeah, it's very lopsided.
Like, it's not like it's, you know, like a big rivalry now, right? 2022, the Panthers win the President's Cup. Last year, it's the Bruins. You know, they eliminate you in the playoffs. Like, those are things I like to see. I like the continuity. That's one reason, and we'll get to this a little later, but that's one reason I wanted to see, like, Philly in the playoffs, because we've never played them in the playoffs. But there's so many storylines there between Rod Brind'Amour and, you know, Keith Primo going out and, you know, Tony D'Angelo and all these things. And then for Bruins Canes, obviously, you know, you mentioned 2019, which I completely forgot about, right? I had to go look that up. Apparently, you swept us.
Yeah.
Totally forgot. Eastern Conference Finals. Didn't remember that at all. Like, I don't know.
That's we fair. Purged it from our memory.
There's one series you're allowed to purge. That's the one.
Yeah. The Men in Black flasher. Hey, we just use that on ourselves and it's gone, right? That's what you wish could happen in some cases, right?
But then it gets worse, Caniacs, because the next year in 2020, it was 4-1, I think. We won one game.
You won the first game.
And as a Canes fan in Boston with a boss who is Bruins season ticket holder, not my favorite week.
Fun to tease him. Like, hey, you probably wish you were at that game, right?
It was brutal. So then they miss a year. Then the next year, the Hurricanes finally get a little revenge, right? They finally win a series. that, you know, they make a run for it. And now, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs, but do I think the Bruins are the front runners out of the Atlantic? I do. I mean, the Panthers are good, but I think a lot of it's going to depend on special teams play. Because absolutely, the Panthers last year were allowed by the league to just kind of goon it up.
Yeah.
You know, they had Gudas and those guys, and they were just go out there taking liberties. And that changes the series when you're allowed to do that versus putting teams on a, on, you know, on the penalty, on the power play rather. And so as I'm looking through it, the Metro is a, has been a beast for years. I mean, the Hurricanes won it 4 years in a row, four years in a row, I think.
Four.
Or our division, because it right for COVID, it wasn't the Metro. But as tough as that has been this year, you know, the Bruins have 105 points. The Panthers have 101. The Leafs have 95. And Tampa Bay has 93. But all four of those teams, I mean, they're good teams. I mean, Toronto can put up points. Defense has been their issue, in my opinion.
Yeah, and
Tampa Bay, Tampa Bay could be the wild card two, and they could be at like 50 points, right? Like, I don't care what their record is. If they make the playoffs, like, you better come after them, right? You better not let go, because Kucherov is just, and Vasilevskiy, between the two of them,
they're
just
game
make
changers.
Things happen, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see how to turn this into a question, right? Mm-hmm. So you've been following, like, if you watched Hal Gill, you've been watching since the pylon days. So you've been watching Bruins hockey for a while. Like, how do you see, like, the series kind of between, like, the Bruins and Canes over the years? Because I feel like there's been a shift, right? It was the Bruins, even in the regular season.
Yeah, it was all Bruins.
And I don't know that it ever got to be all Canes, but it definitely feels like, when I go to the Garden now, when I have the opportunity, there's a lot of Canes fans there. And it's no longer the Bruins fans going, oh, that's a win. It's like you said, I'm going to circle the calendar for this one. This is going to be a tilt, right? From the other side of the ice, like, how do you feel when you see the Canes are on the schedule, what goes through your head?
That's another one of the games I circle off, try to get the night off from work or try your best to switch around some shifts. Mutual respect, I would say, is definitely the theme of it. And it's been because, like, going back, like, when I brought up 2019 being sweet, was because you guys beat us, I think, 2009. Yes, there was that overtime goal with Walker against Rask, and that haunted that, like, you know, we won the cup, but it, you know, the circles back to another thing we'll probably bring up later, but it was just like, I had a lot of beef with the Canes for a very certain aspect or reason. That was a great moment for you guys, but a terrible moment for the country of Canada.
Sure. We brought up Scotty Walker on this program a number of times the last four years. I mean, he was one of those guys. It was definitely one of those goals on our end that you remember because how great it was. But I can see, like, on your end, it's like, oh man,
look at Pittsburgh and and I'm like, we could have beat Pittsburgh. I don't think we beat Detroit, but, you know, it's the playoffs. It's those things. That's what those moments are there for. Yeah. They're there to sting you. So when we played you guys in 2019, and that was the first time you guys made the playoffs in
a long time.
8 years, seven seasons. It was a long time.
2009, 2010 was like the last year. And it was nine long years without.
And it was electric crowd. You guys had a great run. I remember you guys beat the Capitals, which was, I was rooting for you guys because I was like, we don't want to play the Capitals. I'd rather play the Canes. But I remember you guys swept the Islanders, and I was like, whew. But the only reason why that moment was sweet, just because I still had hard feelings about 2009. Being a big Rask guy, it was like, to see him get that win against you guys was awesome, but it was also terrifying because I was like, well, they're here. They're real. This wasn't a lucky run. You're going to stick around. And
because prior to that, we played you guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say revenge wins are so great.
They're great.
Whether it's just singular games in the regular season, but especially in the playoffs, right?
Oh, they.
Like, you love that. You love that.
That was the only reason why I enjoyed that series. But after that, I was kind of like, all right. I honestly thought you guys were going to beat us in the bubble. I was like, Rod's team's going to be more prepared. And then Just I think it was too soon in that development of what you guys were becoming.
Yeah.
As a team in the league.
We've mentioned before, like, I feel like the Hurricanes for the last few years have been, they were where Tampa Bay was before they started winning cups.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
They had talent. They were young. They were aggressive. They wanted it, but they just didn't have that extra gear you need. But this year with Gensel and with Kuznetsov on board, like,
that changes even everything.
As mad as I was, what was it, Wednesday night when we lost to you guys 4-1?
Yeah.
I was like, it's fine. 4-day break, one game, it's Bruins, like, they're good. They look terrible. They will not look terrible in 10 days, right? When the playoffs start on the 20th, I think, like, things will be fine. Because Jake Gensel has put up, I think, 20-something points at this point.
Three weeks
he's been here.
Jeez.
I mean, the Hurricanes have been needing – I mean, you're – I always feel like you're lucky, right? You got Pastrnak.
Yeah.
And as much as they don't like him on the ice, you do have, like, Marchand. You have guys who put up incredible numbers. And the Hurricanes just aren't built that way.
No.
You know, Pastrnak is 106 points. He's, like, third in the league. And our closest guy is Aho at 13th, who's probably going to hit 90.
86 points? Yeah. Last time I checked. He's in the 80s, yeah.
But we haven't had a 100-point guy since 2006. But
I'm not going to lie. When you said that, that really stumped me. But that just goes to show Hurricanes hockey.
Like, how do you win and not have – but if you go down the line, you know, you have Pastrnak at 106, and then you have Marchand at 65 as number two.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's a big
gap. So your number
two
guy is half the number of points. And some of that just shows you how – and he's good defensively. You know, he's a plus 26, which is it's a team stat. But, like, you know, he scores a lot of goals, but he gets more assists than he does goals. And he knows how to play defense. And, you know, he was one of those guys who I'm like, I don't think the Bruins would let him go. Like, I know that there was some, you know, contract talks, and it was like, oh, is this going to work?
Yeah.
But I was like, man, if he gets shipped out of Boston, that is one dude I would take in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. That's
like, they can't be that dumb, right? They're going to sign him. And of course they did. So.
Yeah. I think they took the media for a ride there for a few weeks. Like, I don't know. Maybe Crosby's not that happy. Maybe they try to stir the pot in any way they can. But I was like, you got
Shaughnessy and Felger and Maz and all those guys. And they just, I think they just throw things out there sometimes just to have something to write about.
Yeah. I'm surprised that their radio show is not sponsored by Bailey's with some of the takes that they have.
Now, you know what? Okay, so Bobby, you are way younger than us, which is the reason why I can't recall who or what did the Bruins do at the deadline. And as a fan, were you pleased with what the organization did, whatever it was?
Yeah, no, I thought they had a great deadline. We brought in Andrew Peak from Columbus, who, when it was like, they were, so Primetime was doing a, I'll do a little story. Primetime was doing a trade deadline live stream. And I was at the Bruins practice with all the homies, and we're meeting all the players as they're coming out. So I was covering that as we're, you know, breaking trades and stuff. So it was fun. Andrew Peak, though, probably the best acquisition, acquiring that they had, because when it was brought up, I had to sit there and go through the Rolodex of players because it's a defenseman on a team that's nowhere near being competitive.
Yeah.
And I was like, Andrew Peak, he's a play against. That's all I remember. And he's fitting just so well with the team on the back end. He can play with anybody and anywhere. And I'm very excited to see that kid finally get some playoff hockey. I mean, no disrespect with Columbus and the mess that they are right now. It's tough. They have a great fan base out there. And when they get back to the postseason, I think people are going to see that again.
Yeah.
But to see a guy go from troubling team to a contender and really take advantage of the moment's been awesome. And then they brought in Pat Maroon.
Right.
The big rig from Minnesota.
Right. Yeah. Because he's still in LTIR, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
he might be playing Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Good.
I know that was one of the days they circled that he might get his first appearance at.
Y'all are bad at cap circumvention. You need to take some notes from Vegas. I mean,
he's
not be ready for another week, Bobby.
They put Derek Forbin on LTIR. But they did it with like 5 minutes left on the trade deadline. It's wow. Like, I don't know. God, like, and that's why I won't give Don a B plus. I'll give him like a B minus because I think cap wise they didn't utilize what they had.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they brought them, and then that's it, really.
I will say earlier, one of your biggest pickups, that for me at least, is former Hurricane Morgan Geeky.
Yeah,
he's from Seattle, and he's played really well for you guys. 16 goals, 22 assists for 38 points. He's averaging over half a point a game in like 15 minutes ice time.
Yeah, good Manitoba boy too. So,
when I watch B's coverage, like I see him quite a bit. Like he's really stepped up and filling in. I was really sorry to lose him in the draft for Seattle. I wanted him to stick around because I was like, is he ever going to be a top line guy? Like, no, he's not going to be a, you know, the top line center, but is he going to come into this league and be a middle six guy and really move the puck and do the thing he's supposed to? Yes.
Yeah. And there's no shame in that. There's a career in that position as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause you probably take the same thing being in Calgary. Like you get home late or you know, the Seattle would always play in Winnipeg. They play at like 10 o'clock. So watched a lot of Seattle hockey last year.
Yeah.
And Geeks was one of those guys. Cause I remember him with Carolina, and I remember I'd watch him in Seattle, and I'd always would say, you know, if there's one guy I would love the Bruins to get, or if the Jets would go out to go get, you know, Geeks is one of those guys. And then they didn't re-sign him.
Yeah.
And then the Bruins got him at a really good rate. And I thought, oh,
awesome.
Did like 31 other teams not watch Seattle last year? Like, that's it. Like, I don't, $2 million. Like, it's what? So, he's been well, he's been great with them.
And very to tell you what, one thing that I noticed in very recent history, in fact, the game on Thursday night, Geeky was everywhere in that game. He played phenomenally against the Canes and hard too. Like clearly those games when you're playing against teams that you used to play for, a player gets that
you get up for that
a little
one,
bit of a little energy or a little bit fired up and stuff. But it was beyond. Like he was just fantastic everywhere. And I was hearing his name more. And of all of the Canes that have been traded away or lost in the past, he's one that jumps out to the top of the list that we regret losing the most. You know what I mean? Like there's other ones out there, but Geeky was one that was really, and he's clearly showed up for you guys and has played well all season. So, you know what, that was a great pickup. Brad, is it time to flip into our playoff discussion, which seems to be
one last question, Kane?
Oh, go ahead.
Then we definitely should. So you watched the game. Both of you watched the game the other night.
Yeah.
Beecher, right? Beecher is listed at 6'3", 216. And he's bigger than 216.
Oh, boy.
No, but, for sure.
But Jack Drury is listed at 5'11". And I have pictures. I'm 6'2". And I have pictures. Jack is not 5'11". Okay? And he's listed like 170. So I got to give credit to Drury real quick. Because Beecher, from just size alone, you would be like, this is not a good idea, Jack.
No.
I was proud of Jack.
He held his own.
That was, you know, he got a couple – I would say he ekes out a win, right? It was no means like a TKO or anything, but on a judgment, I think that one goes to Jack Drury. But
that was one of those moments I was watching him and I was like, I don't, you know, I like both you guys. Maybe don't fight. You know, you want to be falls the wrong way. You know, you punch the helmet. Maybe Jack, hey, maybe sit out, Johnny, maybe, you know, let me just stick to the tripping next time.
That's what I was like. I was like, Jack, like, I appreciate it, but like, because I messaged Ray and I'm like, why is he fighting? Because I literally walked away for a few minutes because at that point I was already kind of annoyed. And I'm like, okay, so he's fighting to get things going. It didn't seem to be a retaliatory. Like, he's just trying to get some energy. And I'm like, can somebody else not do this for more? Like, can Jack not be the guy? Like, Brennan's not in the lineup, but can, like, anybody? Can Brent Burns throw down? I know Brent is old, but I mean, I wouldn't mess with Brent Burns.
No, Chats, Nason would have been one.
Nason's a big dude. Like, Yeah,
in, Jats in for future, sure. Canes, Jats is a giant.
in the future, if we could prevent Jack Drury from fighting, I would appreciate that.
No, I'm with
and
you guys
I rewound the tape. I went back in the tape like six times trying to find out where exactly something came up. You know what I mean? I was like, was there, you know, a little bit of slash to the back of the knees, you know, a little Shorzy type work, you know, behind the play that no one saw, and there wasn't anything
there.
There
really much there. I think he literally just went up to the beach and was like, I need to get the team going.
Yeah.
Could you do me a solid?
Yes, I'll be happy to wail and punch down on you, Jack.
A little WWE action. Like, let's make it look good, but let's also both just skate
not
off
kill ourselves. Action. Yeah.
Craziness, right? So, look, let's look at the Eastern Conference playoff situation. Our clubs are way up there.
Yeah,
looking down at the rest, which is fun. It's easier on the heart. It's easier on the mind. But when you're looking down on the Eastern Conference, and right now at this situation, even Buffalo
still have a fighting chance
because these teams, no one wants to be in. No one, they're all losing. They're all, it's unbelievable. Brad wants to jump in. I know.
It just hit me. They're just scared. I was like, why don't these people want to be in the postseason? And it's because they're going, oh, Bruins, Panthers, Rangers, Hurricanes. Yeah, now we're good.
Yeah. I'll take the summer off.
Right. Yeah. Can we just do six teams in the East? You know, so the Atlantic is set. Bruins, Panthers, and Leafs are in. Tampa Bay right now is locked into a wild card, so they're in. Rangers, Hurricanes. We do a best of six, and then we just don't have a 7 and 8 in the East at all because the Islanders, Penguins, Flyers, Capitals, Red Wings, I'm not going to give the Sabres the credit. No offense, Sabres.
No, they have a way tougher road.
But like your chance of getting in is like 0.4% or something.
It's crazy.
But all of you are losing. And at this point, so in the last 24 hours, the Flyers and Caps went from being in to being out. And like within the last 72, it was the Wings. And now those teams are all out and the Islanders and Penguins are in. And what I need the Penguins, I'm not a Penguins fan, but I have a little bit of, goodwill toward them for the Gensel trade right now.
Thanks, guys.
They could do the funniest thing
that trade.
And win out. Because if they win out, they are in.
Yeah.
If they win the next five games, they are in the playoffs. And there's nothing anybody can do about it, if I recall correctly. And I am hoping that for all my might right now, because that would be hilarious. Because I said I thought the Islanders were going to go on a run. 3 days ago, the Islanders, I was like, I don't even think we should give them a shot. Today, they are third in the Metro.
Yeah,
it's not because they're playing good at 5-5-0. They're simply better than the 2-5-3 Flyers.
At the end of the day,
Bobby,
yeah, it's
Ray and I rehashed this. Like, what are we missing, man?
It's nonsense. There's going to be a good 30-for-30 on this wild card spot at one point.
Yeah,
because it makes you wonder. When's the last time we've seen teams? I mean, I'm not calling anyone out here. I'm not saying anyone's losing on purpose, but it's when is the last time you've seen teams been so reluctant to want to get into the playoffs? Because it is such a juggernaut.
Yeah.
I joked with Brad last night. I sent him a text. Brad knows the one I'm talking about. I said, you know what? You know what would be great? Just for fun, if all three playoffs teams, the Islanders, the Caps, if they just all lost, and the Flyers too, just all of them lose, let's just really, it's a mess now, let's really muck it up, you know what I mean? And I was joking because there's no way that's happening.
No,
except that's
not
exactly
coaches,
what happened,
but that's what's happening. and it's amazing what the coaches you have with those teams. I mean, Patrick Waugh, who's back in the NHL after a couple of years out, almost 10 years absence, but he's an intense guy. There's no way that he's letting those guys off the hook. He got Tortorella, who you give or take on a day, is either defending his players or shredding them. I mean, Sully's also the kind of guy where he's, you know, kind of low key like Torts, or he can support his guys, but he can also tear them down. And it's like, are they like, what's going on with these guys? You know, you guys can't get the horses going to get that spot.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah. Blows. So that's my most amazing thing. I'm like, cause you think the Penguins are probably pulling, like, well, let's do it for Sully. Let's do it for Crosby and Malkin. And it's like, you know, it's kind of a Calgary Flames situation in Pittsburgh. It feels like there's only two guys dragging the team along, but
oh man.
But I mean, the Penguins have won four straight to get back in this. And I mean, congrats to the Islanders, they've won three straight to get back in this. You know, the Caps have, even with Ovi's, so Ovechkin had like 8 goals, I think, through the basically until after the Christmas break.
Yeah.
And now he's just unloading. He's on fire. But it's a one man show right now for them, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and they've got injuries that they're dealing with too, like, and they're still fighting through it somehow.
My theory with Ovi, by the way, I'll give you guys a fun theory. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but Ovi purposely didn't light it up at the beginning of the season because he didn't want to go to the All-Star game.
Maybe
he is infamously skipped those All-Star games. Yeah,
like that was like, nuts.
He's like Kucherov. He just didn't want to be there.
Didn't want
to
be there.
Kucherov had to. So
it's an evil theory. That's not like, but it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, like it passes, and then you just start scoring again.
Yeah, just starts playing, right?
He's still ticked. He didn't get the car.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Right. Like he's still ticked. He didn't get the car.
Oh, guys. Yeah, he was upset about that, right?
Yeah.
and Kucherov's funny because obviously like he got a lot of heat for what he did in the skills competition and all, right? Which I thought was funny. I'm like,
oh, it was funny, he played into the heel really well.
Because it's but he's like the kid in high school who woke up and spent an hour on his hair to make it look like he just rolled out of bed and doesn't care how his hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he very much has that.
Because that dude is he's one of the players I truly love to hate, because if he was on our team, I would get a jersey and I would be out there cheering for him. But as long as he's somewhere else, I just can't stand him. But he's, when we talk about the best players in the league and you hear Crosby, you hear Ovechkin, even though they're getting older, and it's, you know, Dreisaitl and McDavid and Bedard's name is being, and McKinnon. Kucherov's name is often not mentioned in that top tier, and he's always kind of an also-ran. I'm not so sure about that. If you're looking at an all-around guy who can do everything, he can mix it up, he can score points, he can do kind of everything. Kucherov, to me, if in fantasy this year, had I had a choice, Kucherov would have been my number one pick, is maybe the best way to put it, right? If I'm starting a brand new team, Kucherov over those other guys is probably getting the nod for me. I mean, he's just that good.
Yeah. You embodied it the best, honestly. Yeah.
And what's really weird, though, is that he's still not getting the shine that McKinnon and McDavid and Austin Matthews are. Like, he's still just on the exterior of that discussion for the Hart Trophy. Tell me who is more valuable to their team based on the entire season. Right? The Lightning are nowhere near where they are now unless Kucherov pops off the way he did. The single most valuable player to his team. Look, Austin Matthews, got to give him that. McKinnon is amazing. Every team in the league would give up their best player to secure him. I think that's a fair statement to say. If they could get him, they'd take him like that. And then McDavid, I was about to say McJesus. That's the way everyone treats him in Edmonton. Yeah. It's unfair, and that's, you know, blasphemous, and I'm sorry. They're just not a religious guy, but that's what they call him. He's out of this world. He's at another level that I don't think there is anyone else there. why is Kucherov not part of the discussion, though? And Brad might have the answer.
Yeah. Well, just to add to what you're saying, so Kucherov right now is the leading points getter, 136 points, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned MacKinnon, right? So, but MacKinnon has Rantanen. They are second and sixth in points. So he's got backup. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, third and seventh in points in the league.
Yeah.
They like that's another way we have a pair. You have to go down to like Panarin to find a solo guy in that top, you know, in that top who's just getting the points kind of on his own.
Well, another thing too is Kucherov lost point like a month ago. And he's still putting it up. Because Brain Point's another very underrated wingman with that, but they lost him. I thought, here we go, and then they didn't skip a beat.
Right.
Not one.
Right. Matthews has a Nylander. You're right, Ray. You go down the list and you're like I said, like Panarin, Pasternak are kind of in the middle there. And then there's a significant drop between, and this is obviously more points based, but that's, you know, when we're talking the Hart Trophy, that's really kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It always is.
And Kucherov is on an island of all on his own.
Kucherov also, out of all those, the superstars of the league per se, he's probably the only one, maybe besides MacKinnon, if you went into the corner, he's the last guy you want to see coming at you.
No, yeah, you're right about that.
Like, he's got that factor too, where he's, you know, he's mean, he can take a hit, he can fight, he can block shots, he can do it all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he could probably play defense, honestly. He'd probably be like up there in the Norris conversation.
If MacKinnon comes in the corner, just have some like butter or some sugar in your pocket or something.
Yeah. He'll
let you be. You know, keep a marshmallow in your mitts or something.
What's so funny is in the West, while there is a little bit of jockeying for position, there's no real threat from the outside. St. Louis had the best opportunity to come from the outside, maybe reel in the Kings. But that's all set. What's going on in the West? Done. Everyone's kind of settling into their position, breathe easy. They'll probably sit a few players, you know, at the end of the season just to make sure everyone's nice and fresh. While in the East, they're, you know,
and everybody
going nuts.
Even the teams that have secured a spot are trying to climb up the ladder to get, you know, say the second wild card position or the first. Like Toronto should be one team that should be absolutely playing game seven hockey every night.
Yep. Yep. And there's a reason for that, which brings me to my next question. Look, with the craziness that's going on, is there a team the Bruins don't want to play in the first round? And I say only the first round because really the first round is the most volatile, really, in the playoffs, right?
It's the trenches. Yeah.
Yeah. If you make it out of the first one, you feel a little bit better and at ease because no one wants to lose in the first round. But when you get into the second round, you got your feet under you, you're feeling confident, you got that one under your belt. Ask the Leafs fans how much you need to get past the first round. They'll tell you, right? Is there a team you don't want to face as a Bruins fan? I won't let you, you can't really speak for the team themselves. We all know you have to play them all anyway, right? Yeah. It doesn't really matter, but is there one that gives you that little shiver?
I said it a few nights ago on Only Bruins, and I'm sticking by it. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the Freddy Krueger for us. They're you know, Bruins fans in the 70s and 80s had the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah. We had the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Vasilevskiy's looked so good. And it's like, how do you beat them?
Did they make him bionic with that surgery or what?
I think so.
They had to have, right?
I had someone in the summer, I can't remember, I feel so bad because I can't remember what network I was on, but someone was like, well, you know, Vasilevskiy's done, he's got back surgery, he's going to be done for the season. And I was just like, I believe in the boogeyman. I watch enough horror movies, like, they're never dead.
I don't believe in God, but I do believe in the boogeyman, and that's exactly it.
Yeah. What about for you guys? Who's the one team you just,
you know?
Can I also say, even though we won't play them in the first round, can I also say the Lightning?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, in the potential first round opponents for the Hurricanes, it's going to be whoever comes in third of the Metro, because they can't really catch the Rangers, I don't think, unless things go really wrong for the Rangers. So it's Islanders, Flyers, Penguins. Of those, the Islanders, I think, are the toughest out.
They're a tough team, yeah.
I would love to play Sorokin. The Flyers for the storylines. Yeah, it's so, all right, and there's history there, right? We've beaten them a couple of times now in the playoffs. Those guys want revenge. You know, I might be a fool for not saying Crosby and Malkin and the Penguins, but I feel like with the addition of Gensel, the Canes can, they kind of know how they need to handle that.
Yeah.
But kind of like you were talking Canes Bruins from 2019, 2020, I feel like the Islanders might be the team who comes out and is like, enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Let's take it to them, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Rick?
For me, I mean, I was the default is Tampa. No one wants to play them, and not just for Vasilevsky, but it's more and for Kucherov, frankly. But it's more the seasoning and the experience that they have gone through in the past how many years. They're always there, and sometimes they're looked at as, oh, they don't have enough or whatever. Probably the best thing to happen to the Lightning in the past X amount of years was winning the President's Trophy and being swept out by Columbus. If you want to look at where they changed, when they lost to Columbus in the first round, swept, that was the time where everything changed. And they just became this juggernaut that just couldn't be beat. You could get out in front of them 3-1 and still lose the series.
Yeah.
They have something. It's an aura. It's a, I don't even know what it is. Well, so that's kind of the default for everyone in the Eastern Conference. Brad, I'm gonna suggest to you that even though we're delighted that we picked and got Gensel, the Pens might be the team that we really don't want to face. The Islanders, bleh. You know, Philly, I would love to bring them on, but they stink, right? The Wings, like whoever, it wouldn't be the Wings. But the Pens, and based on the performance by Ned in the last time we played him, Nedeljkovic is on fire, has played great for them, and plays just a little bit harder against his former team. Brad,
he's still been mad for sure.
you remember, Brad, how much we loved Ned and how we looked at Don Waddell and said, what? How are you sending him away? We don't have any goaltenders. We don't have a single goaltender. And that was the situation at the time. We sent this kid away who was worthy of Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. He had played that well. We sent him away. And Brad and I are saying, I can't throw on the pads for the team. Don, right. What are we doing here? And then he, of course, brings in Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, and Brad and I kind of sheepishly go, yeah, you probably knew it was going all along. We'll just
my comment when they got rid of those guys was, well, you can't complain about the goaltenders if we don't have any goaltenders.
Exactly.
Like masterclass by Don Waddell. If we don't have any goaltenders, y'all can't get on Twitter and be upset about it. That's the whole point. And I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong, and we were wrong on that one. I was like, who are you going to get? Like, and the fact that we got Freddie Anderson, who we talked a fair bit about last week, and how inane it is that Leafs still find him to be the scapegoat. It's like he's one of the best all time in the post. Like he's you know, Ray and I, Bobby, last week, you know, I gave Ray some numbers and he's like, yeah, I would take that guy in the playoffs. I'm like, well, that was, you know, Lundqvist, right?
Yeah,
he's not bad, right? No. And Anderson's numbers are better. And Leafs fans are still like, oh, yeah, wait till he's in the playoffs. I'm like, go to NHL.com/stats. It's what he does in the playoffs is right there. Your problem is the same problem that we have, which is, I always say, if you can't score three goals, you probably don't deserve to win. Yeah. So score three goals. Because if he has a 2-point anything goals against, score three goals. You win. It's not rocket science. I mean, it's easier said than done, right? Because I'm on the sidelines and I get to, you know, I'm drinking a cheer wine and eating popcorn while I'm yelling at you guys to shoot. But
yeah, throwing our hands up in the air and said, you can't score that when the puck, when the net's wide open, Fetch, what are you doing?
Oh, last night I had a couple that I was like, they did. How do you miss that? And I'm like, okay, I'm not good and I can make that shot, but I've never made that with like a real good goaltender in goal. You know, I've made it during stick and puck when there's some, you know, single A, you know, guy out there trying to just get some reps in. So
the defender in front of me, if I'm in those situations, would be laughing at me because I don't even know if I could be skating. Never mind, you know, like, how did you get here? What is this a joke? Dude, you know, get off the ice. Go away. Like, it'd be unreal. Go ahead. Sorry, I cut you.
Oh, no worries, though. As you say, yes, Svetch and Pasta have those similarities. They both have just, I've watched so many games with both of them, postseason, regular season, where wide open net, they hit the post, they miss, they flunk on the shot. And I'm always like, what? You guys are world stars. Right. You're the monsters of the show. What are we doing here?
Yeah, no kidding.
It's always nice to see them be human every now and then.
No question.
When they win. Yeah, it's always nice to look back and laugh at those when they win, though.
And just real quick, Ray and Bobby, the Flyers acquire Fedotov, who's like 6'8".
Oh, man.
In goal. Did you guys see him in goal, even like in practice?
He looks like Megatron.
It looks like they're using like a youth goal, like one of those little half-size goals, because it comes up to like his waist. And I'm like, oh, my, like that's. It's like the commercial with the walrus blocking shots and the guy's like, come on, it's a walrus. I'm like, man, that guy's a big dude. Like, oh my goodness.
Monstrous. But did you see the highlights from last night's game against Buffalo?
I have not,
not yet.
I took a good look at them, and there's a couple of times he looked like a fish out of water. Like,
Want to play them in the
future. Number like now the number four guy, like he's huge, but if he has to move at all, slow. Like there was a couple of moves there that I know that, you know, Swayman would be able to make the save no problem because he's quick and he can move and adjust. When he comes out in front of his crease, because of his size, there's nothing to look at. Mm-hmm. But if you get a pass in on the side, or if you've got a chance to deke, the goal's there and relatively easy. Something that I saw from last night's game. Maybe he wasn't, you know, all fired up, but that's what I saw in those highlights.
As good as the KHL is, though, it's not the NHL. You know what I mean?
NHL's a lot faster.
I was going to say the speed of the game is a lot more. I'm rooting for the kid. I'm hoping he's play well, just not maybe this year if we play them. That's all.
Yeah, no question.
That is
fair. I'm going to circle back to something, and it's the reason why we're all here. And it's probably the last thing that we'll talk about before we wrap things up. The reason why we know you, Bobby, and why Canes fans know you was about the chirping other fans, right? And you put yourself out there ridiculously brave. Let me just say, when you put yourself out there, it's amazing. And chirping is great, except sometimes you have to eat crow.
Yeah.
The best part of crowing is you have to, like, to me, and I've always said this, and it sounds weird, the best part of crowing is that sometimes you have to eat it.
It's part of the ecosystem.
Willing to eat it. Exactly. How much do you enjoy chirping? And more than that, chirping the Canes fans, the Caniacs, guys like me and Brad, you're chirping. Do you dig that? Like, is that part of the hockey environment, that just one of the better parts of it?
It for sure is. I feel like I feel like it's, I do it more in the fun. I think I'd like to imagine I do it more in a fun environment. There are no personal attacks. There are no, you know, the only thing personal I'll say is, you know, like, oh, Aho doesn't tip their servers, you know, like just right. Fun. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. You know, oh, like that guy stinks. That guy doesn't tip his servers, you know. But after the game, you kind of laugh. You're like, Aho's a great guy. I would take Aho any day. It's probably one of my funnest parts about the online community with hockey, because hockey is one of the more funnest sports to do chirps. And it's, you know, there are lots of great players, and regardless of what the media says, there are a lot of great personalities on every team.
No question.
And Carolina is one of the funner ones, because going back to the playoff series that we've had and the experience, like, you guys are mean. You have one of the meanest fan bases. So that's why the last few years, especially adopting the Bobby Brewski moniker, you were one of the ones I'd always, you know, stick my finger in the face, because I know I'm going to get something out of it. And it's always fun, you know.
And we were talking before, right? There's definitely a trolling segment of Caniac Nation, right?
Yeah. And
it's funny how much I don't see, because I have that large segment kind of blocked. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe Canes fans are saying this or whatever. I'm like, what are you talking about? And people will have to show me, because I'm like, oh, I have all of those guys blocked.
Yeah.
And so,
every fan base has that right, one group.
Exactly.
Of,
and so yeah. many people, like, you know, there was a rumor, like the Eric Halla stuff with New Jersey, right? It was like, oh, you know, the Canes fans, you know, made fun of Halla. It's like, no, they didn't. Like,
no.
Everybody was upset by that, except for like a dozen accounts who were just there to troll, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think, you know, the smack talk amongst people, as long as it's good natured, like you said, as long as it's not personal and it's meant to be fun, sometimes you just have to be like, oh yeah, that's a good one. They got me that time. And you move on, right? But you know, if it crosses into mean, I think that's highly inappropriate. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
But have been a tremendous sport. I mean, I know I had reached out to you after, you know, because you did the tier thing, right? And then you did the storm surge. Which that was, I was like, okay, this guy's actually really funny, y'all.
It's pretty good.
Rod does complain a lot, but in my personal life at work, I have probably been compared to Rod the most out of any coach.
Oh, really?
Very intense. And when I get on a rant, I can rant.
I won't disagree. Rod complains about the officiating a ton.
That's part of the game, though.
But is he wrong?
Never.
Is he wrong when he complains? As Never a Bruins is. Fan, when you see Rod yelling at the refs, are you normally like, okay, he's got a point, right?
I will say, I am probably the worst fan to go to a game to, especially going to those Bruins games last couple weeks, because I'm the kind of guy, if there's a call, even I'm like, I don't know. Like, seeing games in Winnipeg fans love penalty calls, and I'm always the guy that's like, I don't know. That's a slash? Or, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, so when Rod complains, most of the time I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's what they pay you for.
I mean,
you don't say it, no one else is going to say it. You know, it's
the big thing for us has been the Canes take the penalties they take. I don't think we would argue that, at least Ray and I won't. Like, when you call things on us, that's generally legit.
Mm-hmm.
What Rod's complaining about is, okay, you just called that a slash, and they just did the same thing to our guy, and it's not a slash. And that's what, you know, that's where the complaint. Caps fans last night with that late call, very big mad. Very big mad.
Huge mad.
Ray sent me a screenshot. Their national broadcast was complaining, calling it the Carolina controversy.
Yeah.
you guys got away with slashing and hooking the whole game. Like, the fact they called in the last 2 minutes kind of stinks for you, but like, they missed a dozen. So
Washington gets away with a lot.
Well, and what's amazing is, like, I've been into it with one fellow. I don't know why. He's got one follower in this. I don't
There's
know
always
why.
One. There's always
but,
one.
But he fires up this big tape where one of the caps were tripped about a minute before the call on that was missed allegedly on Aho. And it's like, oh, the refs, you know, gave the game to Carolina. Look at this. And I'm like, really? Are we going to go through the tape of every game and point out all the times that you didn't get the call that you wanted? Because guess what? I don't know if you've been a fan for very long. It happens all game. And Brad and I would say, I'll speak for you, Brad, because sometimes you're there with me too, but I'm kind of out there. I'm the one that sometimes ends up saying, Canes fans, it's a legit call. It's a call. You got to now just go kill it. But it is a call, and it ticks me off when they don't call the one. And what's really funny is the call on Aho, where this controversy in Carolina came up. Sandheim, it's funny. They said, well, Sandheim didn't even touch him. But they're looking at the wrong time in the tape. They stop on the tape where Aho's falling over whatever. But if you go back, I can show you the exact frame where Sandheim's got his stick on Aho's hands. And that's been a call that has been highlighted all season long. Yeah. If your stick is on the hands of the player, they call it like that because they get bonuses for every time they make those calls. I don't know. That's just the refs. Like, who can explain the refs and how they call games? I mean, you really can't, right? But it was right there. That is the time when the infraction took place, the quote-unquote infraction. It really wasn't a big one. He might have glanced it with his hands with a loving embrace. You know what I mean? But it's on the hands. And so the refs make the call. And there you go, right? If you don't like it, that's fine. Kill it. Just kill it. And the Canes fans will tell you, we get so many friggin' calls that are, it's crazy. We just have to make our team kill those penalties. You know what I mean? And thankfully, we're good at it. So we can deal with those things. But, yeah, just crazy. Just crazy. Thanks that we can fall down that rabbit hole pretty quick, as we just made example of. We went from chirping each other and how fun that is to how much we hate the refs, right? I mean, that happens real quick. Look,
welcome to the NHL.
Yeah, congratulations. You know, you've been watching
greatest hockey. Mysteries of all time.
That's right.
Reffing.
You know, Bobby, we have to wrap things up. There's a couple of things that we got to do. First of all, we want to give you your chat because we've had you in here. It's friggin' amazing. A great episode. Lots of fun. But you've got your own show. And we're all about letting our guests pimp their shows, what they do in life, all the rest of it. You got to bring it to us, people. Bobby Brewski is legit, and you'll want to listen to him. Make no mistake.
I've seen you have some fans in the Caniac fan base there.
Sarah being one of the more prominent ones.
Sarah Donaldson was wearing her Bruins gear the other night, and it was like, well, that's why we lost, obviously.
Yeah.
There you go.
That does happen. I drank out of a Canucks cup a few weeks ago, and they came back and beat us in overtime.
Oh, dagnabbit, right?
Got a little too dark.
I'm stupid stitious, so I see the mistake that was made there. I've made a few of those mistakes myself. But people have to find you.
Yeah. Because very easy to find me. Not hard to find. You can find me on Twitter. That's at Bob Beers Fan Club. It's Bobby Brewski's the handle. Kind of gives away why we go by Bobby Brewski. You can find me on the Only Bruins podcast. Their handle is Only Bruins Pod, which is, of course, on the Primetime Productions Network.
Fantastic.
And if you want me to find me on Instagram, it's also Bobby Brewski, and TikTok is also Bobby Brewski. So very easy to find.
I like people that keep it simple, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice and easy. Gotta love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're as good as they
great
get.
Time.
I love
great
this.
Time.
We've had three Bruins fans on. They have all been an absolute delight, Ray, over four years.
That's right. you know?
That's more than any other fan base for sure.
And I love it, and it helps just prove the example that we've been trying to show, right? Not every fan out there is a troll, and there are a lot of great people who cheer for different teams for great reasons, and there's no ill will, just lots of room to talk hockey and right. the sport and, that we love.
And we brought you on now because, you know, we just wrapped up, you know, on Thursday night, but the Canes get a crack at the Bruins in Boston on Tuesday. So I'm hoping, knock on wood, I'm still trying to find maybe a ticket and get some time, you know, worked out to go to that tilt.
Yeah, I do want to say one more thing about that game, though, is I will be wearing the Tim Thomas jersey that you sent me that night. I'm hoping for some extra juice there.
Little mojo,
which,
right?
Thanks again, by the way.
I'll have to break out the Dineen jersey then. I've never really had trouble in the Garden, but if I wear a Whalers Dineen jersey, that might push it to the breaking point.
There's definitely more bad blood with the Whalers and the Bruins.
Uh-huh.
Figure that one out. Yes.
Man, that series back then, oh my gosh. I don't even know if you were born yet, but that one haunts me. We had you dead to rights and then fell apart. It was the year that a lot of experts thought the Whalers could go all the way. And then to lose in game 7 in a friggin' shutout, 3-0. It's, as you can see, it's seared into my brain. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, I wish I had the flasher to purge that one out of my memory for sure. My goodness. Brad, you have something else here that we want to do as well.
Just real quick, I think I speak for all three of us to say, Steve Cazzari, one of the referees in the Penguins Lightning game today, got hit by, I think it was Hayden Fleury, and was having to be carted off the ice.
Oh my.
As far as I am aware, I think he was knocked unconscious, but was moving limbs and things when they took him out. So we just want to send our best. You know, we may talk about the officials and
we crack
and honestly,
on them, but
and honestly, yeah, Steve is one of the best. Like, if we're gonna have an official, like, he does a really good job, right? But we don't want to see anybody really get hurt out there, right? It's with between CTE and all the other things, you got 200-pound objects flying around at 30 miles an hour. A lot of bad things can happen, and so we wish him all the best. Hope he's gonna be okay. And that
no
goes
question.
Out
to
absolutely
all the players, all the referees, anybody's on the ice, right? You know, take
it's
care.
It's a tough job, and we crack on them a lot, right? It's where you couldn't pay me enough. You know, Raymond, if I could skate, let's just say if I could skate elite level like the refs do with unlimited amount of constitution and ability to get up and down the ice for the way they do, you couldn't pay me enough to do that job. You just couldn't. Raymond, we'll give you $20 million a game. Nope.
No way. No,
there's no way.
Could I sit the bench for that, though?
What's that?
Could I sit the bench? Could I be the 23rd? Could I be the 23rd man on the roster?
I'd happily sit there, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'll open the doors for you guys.
$100,000 to eat popcorn in the press box. I'm sold. I'm in.
Yeah.
Then I could afford the popcorn Zamboni.
Yeah. It's so hard, but we can't... you know, we just don't want anyone to get hurt. And so all the best. Bobby Brewski, I would wish you good luck right up until you have to play the Canes.
Totally understandable. Same right for you guys.
We would love to have you back at some point in the future because your knowledge is great. And you're just a great guy to have around.
No, I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
I would be down for another Bruins-Canes playoff series.
What's that?
I would be down for another Bruins-Canes playoff
series. I would be
like,
too.
Like, it takes a lot out of me, more so than other series because of the locale and everything. But yeah, I would be down for another one. Those are always fun.
Every year, I always say that's the East Final. Always.
Yeah.
Do you want to win the cup? Great. You got to go through the best, and you guys are the best. So
appreciate
I'm all
that.
Game for it.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Thank
Brad,
you.
We've covered a lot. A great guest like Bobby Brewski. We've done it all. We talked about every aspect of the game, and we haven't chirped each other to death, which is an even better statement about how awesome the Storm Cellar can be.
There you go. I don't have all my teeth, but not because of anything that happened today. Yeah. So.
There you go. But there's just one thing left we have to do, Brad. Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Let's go Bees, baby.
thank you everyone for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. We will do our best to answer anything hockey-related. You can reach us via email at stormcellar97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @stormcellar97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcellar97.